This is The Guardian.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Back in January, as I was travelling around New Hampshire talking to residents about how they were likely to vote in the primary election there, I heard a bizarre story.
Voters in New Hampshire received a robocall right before they headed to the polls.
When they picked up the phone, voters heard what they thought was President Joe Biden telling them not to vote in that Tuesday's election.
It's important that you save your vote for the November election. Voting this Tuesday only enables the Republicans in their quest to elect Donald Trump again.
Now that sounds like a plea from Joe Biden, except that it isn't. And now it's under investigation by the New Hampshire Attorney General.
In response to this scam, just a couple of weeks later, the US government outlawed robocalls that use voices generated by artificial intelligence. But experts are warning that this story is just one example why 2024 will be a year of unprecedented election disinformation in the US and all around the world. So why are people so worried about the influence of AI on November's presidential election? And what can the politicians do to catch up? I'm Jonathan Friedland, columnist for The Guardian, and this is Politics Weekly America. Rachel Leingang is a democracy reporter focused on misinformation for Guardian US. A couple of weeks ago, she devised a quiz for Guardian readers. So I gave it a go. Was what we're hearing real or fake? Rachel, excellent to have you on the podcast. I think making your Politics Weekly America debut for us, so we're delighted about that. But you've already tried this out on people. How did that go and who did you try it out on?
I made my family all do it. We have a various mix of people who work in politics, who are very politically savvy, and then some who just like kind of lightly pay attention to the news. And the results were all over the place. It's hard to tell what's going on once you really start thinking about it. You really have to pay attention to a lot of context clues. So it's more difficult than I had anticipated for like a layperson to really decipher.
Okay, well, I think we should plunge right in with clip number one. So let's listen to that.
She stroked his pretty skin again and kissed him and held him tight. But instead of saying thank you, that snake gave her a vicious bite.
I think I've got a sort of privileged access to this one because I've actually heard Donald Trump, indeed in New Hampshire, doing the snake. It's a bit of his stump speech now. I agree. If I hadn't heard it myself, I would assume it's so bizarre that it would have to be faked. But I'm going to say real.
That's correct.
Okay, so let's go on to clip number two.
No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
Lying dog-faced pony soldier. I mean, you'd think that was made up, but weirdly, it's the sort of thing you can imagine Joe Biden saying because it's so random. I'm going to say that's real.
It is real.
All right, so two out of two so far. Now let's go on to clip number three.
They came after me because I was too good at being president. I did too much for you. I fought too hard. I fixed the economy. We were all rich. And then they came after me.
Ooh, Donald Trump, definitely heard him express those sentiments. That laugh at the end, I'm not so sure that's real. He so rarely laughs. I'm going to take a risk and say that's fake.
Yes, that is fake.
Amazing. Amazing that that's fake, because there's nothing in it that would make you think. I mean, it sounds absolutely like him. So the technology can make his voice say that. Journalistically, I don't think you would ever call that out as being, or even be suspicious if someone passed that off.
No, I mean, it's definitely what he says. You know, it's just he didn't say that specifically.
Yeah. Let's go on to clip number four.
As my football coach used to say, lots of luck in your senior year.
So Joe Biden, as my football coach used to say, lots of luck in your senior year. I'm going to say that's fake.
That one is real.
Ah, and in a way, what would you have to go on? Let's go to number five now.
I've done more for toilets than any other president. They finally flush better now. The Democrats, they ruined toilets. But we made toilets great again.
Okay, I'm saying that's fake.
That one is fake.
Okay, and again, my only guide, really, nothing glitchy in the voice or anything, was I think if he'd said it, we would know about it. It would be one of those memorable clips that's played again.
What an incredible score.
And I've got to say, the ones there that were fake, even when I guessed them right, there was nothing in it that would give it away. This technology is at an incredible stage, Rachel.
And I think you exhibited some of what starts to happen, is you really just start to question what is real. Your brain kind of goes a little buggy. These are things that plausibly someone could have said. It sounds just like them. You know, you're in your mind, you go through the headlines that you've seen. Have I heard of that? That kind of thing. And it all just starts to become very confusing. And you're someone who works every day, you know, in politics, reading about politics. Imagine how that is for somebody who, you know, is just kind of seeing headlines as they pass on social media.
Completely. So this is audio. What about video? If we were doing this test with video, is the video AI technology at a similarly advanced stage?
Not from the free or like pretty inexpensive tools. Audio is more advanced, just in that you kind of lose that video dimension. You lose one of your senses. And for that reason, it's more plausibly real when it's fake. And when I tried to create video clips on the same AI app that I used to create the audio ones, they just look so obviously fake. If you have more money and time, and there is what's been described as like a funded adversary who wanted to create fake video, the technology is somewhat there. You'd be able to trick a good amount of people. But with audio, it's in my hands. And I'm somebody who can afford like a $40 app, you know, nothing too expensive.
That's, I mean, in itself extraordinary that this is, a few years ago, it would have cost millions to do what you've just done with a $40 app. There is a practical reason why you and I have just had fun with this quiz. And that was the story in New Hampshire, which I referred to just before. Voters getting a call from a voice, AI generated, which sounded just like Joe Biden, telling them not to vote. A so-called robocall. Do we know who was behind that, what their purpose was, and whether they were indeed relying on this latest state-of-the-art sort of AI tech that is available to anyone?
We do know now that it was someone who had worked in like a strategist in an affiliated group with Dean Phillips, the U.S. congressman who was running for president against Joe Biden. And that person has said that they did it to demonstrate how easy it would be. I mean, whether you believe that that was their intent or not, you know, but also you're working for someone who's against him, so maybe there's a different intent. But it definitely illustrated very quickly in the primary season that this is going to be something that marks this election.
And you mentioned Dean Phillips, who finally suspended his campaign the other day. Did he know about this?
He said he did not, and he condemned it. And it was not his campaign. It was a separate group that had been working on getting voter messages out. So he did not have any knowledge of it, he has said.
And for the average voter, hearing that robocall after you've been told it's fake, I think the brain adjusts and then says, okay, well, now that I know that, yeah, you can hear the things that are wrong. And you can imagine that in the busy household, you know, the kids are making a noise, the kettle's boiling, whatever it is, you're not just analysing the voice, even like I was during your quiz there. People would have just passed that. Are we seeing more and more of these kind of scams in just regular American life? Before we get onto politics...
For sure. In that dimension, it's far more common and advanced than in U.S. politics at this point. One of the most common scams is known as the grandparent scam.
Turning now to a warning about AI. You think that you know your kids' own voices, right? Well, scams generated using artificial intelligence are on the rise.
The bad guys can now clone a voice using only a couple of seconds worth of actual sound.
You know, these scammers can kind of clone the voice of someone's grandchild or child and call them and be like, I need money, I need your help, you need to wire money right away. And it's emotionally alarming. And there is a worry that that element of it, being able to clone like my voice to my grandparent, could be used in U.S. politics, because then I'm a more trusted messenger to a grandparent than, you know, any politician would be. They would listen to me more than a politician.
Oh, wow. So the grandparent scam could become a political device where your grandparent hears you and saying, you know, vote Donald Trump. That's what I'm doing, Grandma. And they might fall for it.
That would be the most extreme worry in how that technology could be used. And there's no, you know, reason to say it couldn't be. Aside from that, it's just time consuming.
Yeah. And the general, we should say this just as a bit of public service. The advice people always give about these things is if ever you do get a call, especially if it's somebody asking you for money, you should just call them back on their own number. And then,
yes. You
know, then you're not back because they won't have phoned you. Call the grandchild or whatever and say, was that really you just now? We've been talking about examples in America, New Hampshire, and so on. But your reporting suggests this is a problem confronting the whole world, and it's particularly relevant in 2024, when, you know, it's in the billions, the number of people who are going to be voting. There are elections all over the globe.
Yeah, this is an incredible election year. And that alone actually means there's more, you know, potential for mayhem just because of the sheer numbers, but then also because our attention gets really dispersed. You know, there's only so many people who can keep an eye on things in this many places. So in Slovakia, there was actually a fake recording created by AI where one of the candidates had boasted that he'd rigged the election. And the belief is that that fake call swayed the election to a pro-Russia candidate in that country.
When you say pro-Russia, that does point at least a sort of hint of a finger at who may have been messing with the AI. And people did say that about Russia after 2016, that, you know, they were just at the very beginnings of the technology that would soon be available. And here we are 8 years later. This has got politicians, lawmakers in the United States sufficiently worried that they have moved to ban the practice. What exactly have they done?
So the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, which kind of regulates phones and other technologies, they have banned it. But there aren't regulations yet on the Federal Election Commission side on what can be used in campaign ads or the kind of like TV ads that we would see, whether those use AI. That there's not anything on that right now. And, you know, we're in the midst of the election, so we're already behind on this issue. The other thing I'll note is that with FCC rules, there's already a do not call list where, you know, you can sign up and say people who are trying to sell something shouldn't call me. But for most of us, we still get those calls. So you can ban it. That doesn't mean that the people who want to use that technology to confuse and sway voters won't use it anyway. You know, they'll deal with whatever the consequences may be after the fact.
Yeah, I think this is such a good point that if you're dealing with people who anyway are operating dishonestly, a change in the law might not help. Let's talk about 2024 specifically. What other interventions or deployments of AI have you spotted already in this election that could mess with how people see reality?
There are videos where, I mean, the RNC had done a video kind of showing this is what Biden's America looks like, sort of a dystopian kind of vibe to it, right? And it's very clearly AI. Everything just looks a little too shiny is what I would say. Like people kind of get really smooth looking, like their skin is very smooth and their hands and everything. And those are not necessarily bad things, right? You know, what people who advocate for changes in this area have said is as long as there's a clear label that says this is using AI generated content, that really goes a long way for people to understand how to view it. That way you're not trying to pass something over on them. It's something that was created to make a point. That, I think, we are all able to contextualize as long as we know that something is fake.
Yeah, that's what a lot of the AI campaigners are demanding, is just labeling,
yes.
Truth in labeling on all kinds of products so that you at least know. What about the image of Donald Trump with his African-American friends?
Right. Yeah, that was a classic example, very recent example of, not affiliated with the Trump campaign, but people pushing for, black voters to go for Trump have just put him into photos with black people, basically to say that he is, a candidate who is working for black voters, that kind of thing. And they're not real photos, but they look pretty real if you were to just kind of glance at them.
The only thing there would be, the clue would be perhaps the political context. Although we've been reporting on the podcast before, and we're going to get into it in future weeks, there is a growing body of African-American votes that is moving to Donald Trump. And so in a way, it's not a wholly implausible reality, but there we are faking the imagery. So the politicians are trying to move against this, as so often with tech. They are miles behind, aren't they? They're always playing catch up. You've mentioned those crackdowns on robocalls. What else have they been doing in order to sort of protect democracy and information from this threat?
Congress just started a task force that is looking at this issue and hopefully we'll have some sort of recommendations on what to do with it. Again, we're sitting here in March, so it could have been done previously. We all knew this was coming. It's not like this is something that's surprising. But when you're talking about federal legislation, I think we all know the level of polarization and dysfunction means that the U.S. Congress does not really do a whole lot, especially not quickly. So a lot of this has fallen to the states, and several states have passed or are considering legislation that does what we talked about before, basically labeling AI. And if you don't label it, then it's considered a ban. So if you didn't label it, then you basically broke the law. We're waiting to hear from the FEC. They said this summer they'll have some sort of statement on whether they're going to put in place rules or whether they won't. They've opened rulemaking, but they haven't really indicated what they might do. They just said they'll have more news on it in the summer.
And people have been quite struck that this is one of those rare, and they're becoming increasingly rare, areas of political life where it's quite bipartisan, Democrats and Republicans working together. By way of illustration, I feel that for the second time in just a few weeks, we need to mention Taylor Swift on the podcast. Tell us about how she plays into this.
Yeah, there were AI-generated images of Taylor Swift nude. And, there's a whole subset of the bad internet is what I always call it, that does a lot of the fake pornography. And they'll use, publicly sourced images, imagery of famous people, but also sometimes just everyday people, and make them look as if they took nude photos. I mean, imagine that was you, right? That is so violating and fake. And, you then are in the position of having to prove that you didn't do something where, your life gets upended through no action of your own.
In fact, we should direct listeners to a whole episode in our new Guardian mini-series, Black Box, which zeroes in on exactly this phenomenon presented by my colleague Michael Safi, so people can get more on all of this. But in terms of the threat to democracy rather than just personal privacy, would it be fair to say that Congress and politicians haven't fully woken up to the scale of this as a threat, don't actually take it ultimately that seriously?
I think that's fair to say. And I will say too, I was skeptical that the technology was far enough along that it could meaningfully trick anybody until I started playing around with the audio tools and realized just how easy it is. And then really the deepfake call in New Hampshire to me was a moment, an eye-opening moment, just to realize that this will be a feature of this election and in future elections, and especially as we go from a national level, the more local that we get, the more concerned I am about it, because there are just fewer journalists paying attention. If there's a national fake photo or fake call, think of how quickly it became debunked, right? Think of how quickly in New Hampshire we were able to see that it was fake. If you're looking at a local level, there are fewer local journalists. The death of local news is very real. And in those dimensions, it just becomes much more confusing for people and harder to debunk. Then things just kind of simmer.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If you're faking something about somebody running for the local school board, who's going to be around to call that out, and before you know it, it's spread and everyone believes it. We've talked about how politicians can be quite slow. The tech companies themselves, usually they can be much faster, and they are promising they're on the case. And Google was in the news this week about what it's going to do to try, at least try, to minimise election interference. Remembering the big tech companies were very much in the dock after 2016, accused of not having done enough. What are Google promising, and how do you rate it in terms of whether it's enough?
Google's chatbot is doing similar to what others have done, which is to say that if there are political questions asked, election-related questions, it won't answer it, or it will direct people to more trusted sources. Other chatbots have, you know, directed to voter registration sites, Secretary of State's. Basically, they'll just say, we can't answer that right now, and direct you to somewhere that can. I think that's a good idea. A lot of times what we'll see is that, depending on how you phrase the question, though, you might have a different result. So there probably are going to be some examples of where this policy does not really match up with what answers people get. But it's not nothing. I mean, it's a good idea. I think it makes sense that they're directed to a place where they would get the accurate information for where to vote, how to vote, etc.
All of this, like I mentioned, is pursued in the series Black Box that my colleague Michael Safi is fronting, including this question of how people are going to be able to tell fact from fiction. What's your advice to individuals about when they are confronted with, crucially, they won't know if it's AI they're looking at, but just in terms of watching things, listening things, seeing things, what tools or pointers could you give for how they could protect themselves against this kind of abuse, this darker side of AI?
I think the first thing is remember what you trust in terms of sources. So if you have a news organization you trust, you know, a think tank, what have you, who do you go to when you're trying to figure out something is real? And when you see something that feels either it's too good to be true, right? Like it sort of makes someone look better than you thought, figure out what the trusted sources are saying about it. And that might be takes a little bit of time, but don't jump to any conclusions while you're waiting to see, you know, what researchers or journalists are learning about something that seems, you know, questionable. The other thing I'll say is what I've noticed when I was creating the fake audio is that people sound too good in it. And I think if you were to listen back to those clips, you know, if you're thinking of how Biden and Trump speak, they both have vocal tics that aren't present in the AI. You know, Biden speaks a little slower. Trump has his Trumpisms. The AI can't really mimic that. You kind of have to try to put in ums and ahs to mimic that, and it just doesn't work as well. In photos and video, I always look at the limbs. For some reason, AI and limbs don't go together well. There's always like a tell with fingers being kind of funky. Those are some of the tells. But I would say the main thing, though, you don't need to be an expert in this technology. Look to the experts. That's the way to find out, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, it's so interesting what you're saying about limbs and hands, because that fuss that was kicked up, particularly over here, about the picture with Kate Middleton, Princess Catherine, and her children released for Mother's Day, a whole lot of people were looking at the fingers, saying they just don't look right. You know, it's alleged that perhaps there was some AI manipulation there. Kate Middleton herself, the princess, admitting that she had definitely sort of tweaked the picture. But lots of people had a sort of hawk eye for those fingers and thumbs and hands because of exactly what you've said about AI. Really good advice, though, about the too good to be true thing. It's when that clip that leapt out at me in our tech quiz earlier, the one where Donald Trump talking about toilets, it was just too Trumpian. It was too exactly what you'd want Trump to do if you wanted to depict Trump as crazy. And that sort of signaled or sounded the alarm for me. Rachel, we do always like to ask our guests a what else question, something different. We're going to stay in your field of technology and so on with the news that the House of Representatives passed a bill on Wednesday that would require TikTok owner ByteDance to sell the social media platform or else face a total ban in the US. It's the biggest threat so far to TikTok, which has always denied that it would ever, you know, breach privacy and share US user data with the Chinese government that is its ultimate owner. But it will now go over to the Senate. This is interesting because Donald Trump had been previously all for this effective ban on TikTok. He then flipped on the question. What do you think is going to happen in the Senate? What do you think is going to happen with this move?
It's unclear what happens in the Senate. There are some senators who've expressed that they have concerns with this over free speech, First Amendment concerns, which makes sense. This is a platform that people definitely use for speech. They use it for all kinds of speech, for political speech, and just for fun. And a whole ban on it, it just seems so harsh to some people. And certainly TikTok pushed its users to call Congress people about this, which I don't think endeared them to a lot of them. What happens next, I feel like, is really in the hands of just a couple senators. And TikTok, in an election year especially, is in a really tough spot. They've really tried to stay away from doing politics on the platform. But, you know, when people are involved, you can't avoid politics.
And Republicans in the Senate, I mean, they're not a particularly young group. I mean, are they going to be worried about alienating younger voters by doing this? Or do they think, yeah, it's important to strike a blow at the Chinese government?
I would say the latter. I don't think that their base of voters really uses TikTok. It's much more people on the left who are using it than people on the right. So they definitely, their base is more interested in Chinese influence over the U.S. than they would be in, you know, using TikTok.
So spare a thought for Joe Biden, who is the latest in the TikTok generation to get on the platform. He will now have to hastily get off it. Rachel Langang, thank you so much for talking to us for Politics Weekly America.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
And that is all from me for this week. After Tuesday's primary contests in Georgia, Mississippi, and Washington State clinched once and for all the party nominations for both Joe Biden and Donald Trump, our colleague Lauren Gambino spoke with the Guardian Australia podcast Full Story to discuss the presidential rematch no one wants. So search for that wherever you get your podcasts. And like I've mentioned, you really have to check out The Guardian's new mini-series, Black Box. It's all about AI, which we've been discussing. The latest episode looking at how AI is going to transform our lives in ways that could be extraordinarily positive. For example, imagine if there were a machine that could spot cancer years before a human could possibly do that. But for now, it's goodbye. The producers this week are Danielle Stevens and Tom Glasser, the executive producer, Maz Ebtahaj. I'm Jonathan Friedland. Thanks, as always, for listening.
This is The Guardian.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.